The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 570. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
And Brian Manjoma.
What up, what up?
All right, guys, back here with another Sunday show with them questions. Shout out to Kishak, who's already in the chat. This might be the full cast. We'll see if Brett shows up or Rich. Chris is out tonight, and Adam's probably doing a TV terminal, you know? I wonder if he does TV terminals on football. I don't know.
No, I mean, it's mostly
it's on,
shows.
It's on TV.
Well, you know, it should be television show terminal,
yes,
more or less, but that don't sound right. That's already too many words.
It got to be TV, you know?
TV terminal, you know. Free tools.
Well, I will say this.
You can even chant it. TV terminal.
That's right.
Dun, 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 dun. I mean, he doesn't do wrestling, so he surely probably doesn't do football.
Probably.
If he would have done, he would have done wrestling more than anything.
You mean like a wrestle cast?
Oh, dude.
Oh, man. All right, man, let's get into it. Shout out to Blitz, who's joining us. And, sir, we're answering your questions first tonight. All right. Get into it, man. First up, the latest rumor that Hip Hop Gamer broke about the about the next Xbox, according to Jez, get it right, Hip Hop Gamer, bro. Hip Hop Gamer broke that shit. Anyway, the latest rumor around the next Xbox is that it'll support all the main PC storefronts. It also looks like it'll be expensive. So given all that, what is the point? Why would anyone use the Xbox store when you likely get games cheaper via Steam, etc.? Why not just focus on the PC? It's a good question. I mean, if this thing costs as much as a PC, then it's like, okay, why not get a... you know, it's weird. It's a very interesting thing. But again, since Xbox has effectively lost the console war, you know, they pretty much admitted it by going third party. This is the only other route they have. So basically, you know, obviously we'll see what the rumors have, you know, if the rumors pan out, but it seems to me like this will be like an Xbox branded Windows PC. You know, it'll probably have that lean version of the Xbox UI that's on the Xbox ROG Ally. I'm pretty sure it will, but just like that, you could, you know, put up whatever storefronts you want. Steam, Epic, you know, all that other good jazz, GOG, you know. But, you know, it is a question, like, what is the point? I don't know. If they could at least make it powerful enough and not as expensive as a normal PC, and maybe the form factor could play a factor too, right? Like, if they make that shit nice and small, you know, maybe not like the Steam machine, but something close, you could put on your television, might be compelling, you know, because one of the problems is, you know, and Manny, I know you could attest to this, like, you know, you can't be having this big PC, you know, in a room, you know, it's got to have a dedicated spot.
Yeah,
but I get the question. I don't, you know, that's just a long way for me to say I don't know, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see for sure. What about the rest of you guys? What do you think? Like, would something like this be relevant when you could just get a regular PC instead?
I mean, I think just the thing about it would have to be the price range.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that would be the selling point. If you could sell somebody a comparable, you know, consoles, you know, PC hybrid, whatever, that has consistent pricing, and, you know, not consistent pricing, but more like affordable pricing,
yeah.
I think that would be more interesting than just saying, hey, this costs about as much as every single PC out there. So it's like, okay, so then why don't you just buy the damn PC? Because obviously this thing ain't going to be able to match that.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think, Carlos?
Yeah, well, obviously they can't do their old business model with the consoles because they, you know, they're getting off of that. So the whole traditional, you know, we have a closed environment with a closed operating system and the storefront where we take a cut off of all the sales is just not sustainable anymore. So what they're pivoting to is, let's make a PC. It's going to be expensive, but it's going to be quote unquote justifiable because it's a PC. It's not a dedicated console. It has Windows. You can boot Windows into it. So it's selling you Windows. And also I'm pretty sure Tony mentioned this with a dedicated UI, you know, to make things a little bit leaner, but I'm pretty sure that thing is going to have a lot of advertisements for Game Pass. So what they're going to try to do is get you into the subscription model. But yeah, like you mentioned, I don't think they're going to get a cut off of Steam sales or anything like that. Cause you can bring in your Steam library into that thing and, you know, you don't have to buy anything there. So yeah, that's definitely a part of the business that's not going to be generating that much revenue for them. But they'll still have their storefront, pretty sure at the front and center and Game Pass. And who knows, you know, trying to sell you a PC, maybe they can, you know, they can spin it as, you know, oh, you know, these years we have RAM prices going skyrocketing because of AI and all this stuff. So this is the affordable PC that you can buy, and it's got RGBs.
Oh man,
it's green. It glows green in the dark.
Yeah, Brian, what are your thoughts, bro?
I'm just trying to understand why they would want to do that, because then what's the point of it? Because again, if you're going to allow another storefront on your platform, which potentially has cheaper games, then people just get it on that instead. So I don't know, just seeing very pointless.
Yeah, and that's the heart of the question. What is the point? I mean, you could technically buy this thing and never buy a single Xbox game, right?
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
And I mean, the whole thing with the console, you know, bowing out of the console market is, this is probably their last attempt at doing a physical item like this. Like I mentioned that, and whenever this comes to fruition, cite me, give me credit, as a source.
Are you going to go on Twitter all caps? Who?
I'm going all caps on these bitches.
That's it.
And here's the thing. Their final goal on all of this is Game Pass, because that's the only play they got left. So what they want is, they want it on all your set-top boxes. They want it on your TVs. We already have it on Samsung TVs. Samsung TVs come with Game Pass on it. So they want that, but they also want it on your Apple TVs and your Rokus. That's the final stage boss for Xbox.
Is it all Samsung TVs or just specific models?
I think, well, it's definitely after a certain year.
Yeah.
I don't know if there were a specific model.
Right. Just want to be sure about it, because I think I remember reporting on about that. It was at that time, I believe it was a specific model, but that was a few years ago. So it may be all of them now.
Yeah. It might, yeah.
But yeah, no, you're interested. Again, I just thought about that during the course of this conversation. Like, you could literally buy this thing, you know, like just install your Steam games and you're done. You don't need to buy any Xbox games. You could buy your Xbox games through Steam.
Yo, man, is this, can I call this a Steam machine?
Yeah, right. It'll be interesting. All right, man, moving on. Another one from Mr. Tumeke. Many of us have spoken about how the industry feels like it's stalling. Fewer AAA games are being made. Many that are being made look and feel the same or are of a certain genre that fits the current trend, sometimes fits a popular trend, but since that game came out so long ago, many of us feel very little excitement for what gaming is right now. What do you think will bring back that spark and reignite the gaming industry? If I could answer this question, I'd be a fucking millionaire, you know, or billionaire even, you know, like if I find that one genre that clicks and I make $1 billion, I'd be golden. That is to say, I don't know. I have no fucking idea, man. You know, like Carlos, I don't know about you, bro. I have never made a prediction about what genre is going to be popular that's ever come true. So most of the genres that become popular, I'm like, wait, what? This? Really?
It's because your headspace is also different than the rest, than a lot of the zeitgeist. There's some things that align and there's things that don't. And like, you look at what things are the popular genres. They're the most gamey, most, you know, abusive as far as, you know, microtransactions and having people hooked. So that, I think that's what the future
it'll be something multiplayer, something with microtransactions, you know, probably many different types of games in one. I'm thinking about Fortnite and Roblox specifically. So yeah. I don't know if that's a genre per se, but it'll probably have those elements. The multiplayer one is absolutely going to be there. It has to have some kind of multiplayer component. What is one of the big, going back to a question we're going to have later on, GTA 5, why is that big? It ain't because of the single player, you know? So yeah. it'll be something like that. But
it's a little, you know, may not obviously there's two portions. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, I think it'll be something that again, it's sort of, you know, I hate to call it mindless gaming, but it is sort of a mindless game, where it's, in other words, it's a thing that you can continue to keep coming back, you know, hey, look, I got a new costume. Hey, I got a new this. It's really not really anything as far as significant as like, let's say, you know, like a story thing or anything like that. Like, I think it's just going to be something very, very simple, sort of brainless idea that gets through. And that's why you see everybody trying to jump on that horse, right? Because officially, you don't need a lot of, you know, unfortunately, with silly games like Concord, they spend all this crazy amounts of money where you're really not supposed to be spending a lot of money. It's a low investment, but has a high yield.
Yeah, but none of that's really going to reignite anything, you know, that passion. It's just going to be more of the same.
Now, but for the people that have been in the room since the beginning, who do like a lot of those other types of games, where it's just like us, I think I can't actually answer that question. I couldn't say to you, okay, this is going to be the game that ignites my thing. But I think the one plus thing that would make me do it is if I actually did see a lot more newer titles, where it felt like we weren't just getting the same old games kind of rekajiggered over and over and over again, you know? And a lot of my favorite games from the past years going up till now are all these sort of titles that did things a little bit differently, but they didn't hit. So I think that'll do it for me. Like if we start seeing more interesting ideas sort of coming out there, and it doesn't feel like, oh, this is the game. It's like, nah, this doesn't need to be the game. It's like, hey, look, let's keep putting things out and see what sticks, instead of just like everything has to be these big cornerstone events.
Yeah. But the question is about that.
Yeah.
You know, well, hey, go ahead, Carlos.
And also I feel like, one of the biggest reasons why games feel so, you know, samey is because they all use Unreal.
Yeah.
Most of the games that feel have their own flair, have their own engines.
It's true.
I would say this, like, it depends on the game. Like, Hi-Fi Rush doesn't look like an Unreal game. It looks like it has its own style. I think it's very easy to sort of fall into the trap of, like, you know, just we've had this conversation about, well, I don't know, for earlier on in this podcast's time, right? Where it was like, we were talking about how Unreal games all look the same. How things seem to stay the same. It's all about really just going against the grain of that engine, essentially not using all the bullshit onboard stuff. But even a lot of times, when it comes to like a lot of those, you know, especially when it comes to Unreal 5, a lot of those guys said, say that when they use it, they said they have to rip all that shit out of it so that they could get what they need out of it. Like, in other words, for Hi-Fi Rush, they're like, yeah, they needed to write their own lighting engine because all Unreal wanted to do was light everything like a fucking realistic room. It's like, no, we're not doing that game.
Yeah.
But it means putting in the extra time to sort of get things to do things a little bit different, instead of using the, you know, hey, look, it's the rim light button.
Well, and also it's about the creatives as well. I think it's mostly about the creatives. Their games have become so expensive to make, at least from a AAA sense.
Yeah.
They become so expensive to make that they can't take, or they feel like they can't take any risks. And capital is what drives the making of these games more than anything. So you don't have people taking chances on their genre bending experience on a AAA scale, because, you know, the people funding it are like, this isn't going to make us any money. And that's where you have to hope that, you know, some of the indie devs, you know, like the people who made Expedition or something, the Larian Studio makes something that, you know, is different, a little bit, at least a little different than the trend, to spark something. Because, like, for example, Expedition, you know, 33 wasn't exactly genre bending, but it was a fresh idea on something we already knew, which is a lot more than game. Yeah. But that's what it takes to do that type of stuff. You need people that are creative, that are inspired. Like that studio is, you know, they talk about all their inspirations and you know how, why they left Ubisoft and stuff. That's what makes games great. Not, you know, trying to chase the next cash cow. Like that's where you get Concord. That's where you get Highguard.
Yeah, that's right. The same old slop. I'm gonna read this next follow-up by Blitz, and this will be perfect for Brett to catch up on the conversation here. He goes, do you see anything in the industry that could bring back that old spark? Will it be a game type, hardware like Steam Machine or Xbox, LOL, or maybe the fall of AAA, we'll see AA and indies take the lead? So Brett, the question is basically, you know, he feels that gaming has become stale, and he wants to know what, if anything, could bring back that old spark to make things exciting again.
You're not going to like my answer.
I know. Well, actually, does it involving AI engagement?
Nope.
All right, go ahead.
Change your expectations.
Uh-oh.
Look, AAA is a dinosaur, and like it is dying. It's going to die. But like, I'm honestly not sure. Like, you know, as one of these old heads that's been around since damn near the beginning of gaming, I'm not sure that stranglehold after the first collapse of the gaming industry that Nintendo got, like, I think we started practicing bad habits like that. Like, a healthy, thriving, and creative game industry already exists. And it exists on Steam, and it exists in the $20 to $50 price range. There are some great fucking games on there. And they're usually made by teams who are very passionate about what they're doing. And when they're not, a lot of times they're like, project games, you know, we cannot live in a world where we all expect the next Halo to be the most awesome thing ever. Like even GTA, as I've said before, like, runs the risk of just being overhyped. I thought Elden Ring was going to be overhyped, right? So, like, I'm being consistent here. But, like, this idea that every game, it's kind of like a tattoo, right? Like, I know when somebody has experience with a tattoo or not, because if they don't, they come in and they want to design a tattoo that encompasses them, who they are, everything they're interested in and love, in the past, present, and future. And I'm like, that thing doesn't fucking exist. You are a three-dimensional being in a four-dimensional space. All you can do is write your memories on yourself and pray going forward. But, like, here's an idea. Don't base a tattoo off of, like, a memory or a part of yourself that you don't want to remember later, because it's going to mark that time and place. And that idea of just, like, not having any direction and just being like, I don't know, I just, you know, want everything and have it to look cool. Like, no, like, you can't do that. And I actually had this problem with a client of mine today. Like, I absolutely hate, as an artist, being told, oh man, just do whatever, because it's a fucking trap. What that means is do something that I like that I'm not going to have to explain to you, right? It's read my fucking mind. No. So I think we all need to be understanding that a $400 million game is not fun. It's just not. You get diminishing returns, and you get to the point where you get fucking Concord or Skull and Bones or some other quadruple A. Like, a quadruple A game is doomed to fail every time, I guess, is okay. The short version of where I'm going with this. So I think
quintuple A?
Oh, well, then maybe it'll go loop back on itself. Like, what we need to do is we need to stop. Like Brian was the prophet here, right? Like, it's we need to follow Brian into the desert. Like, we need to stop thinking about consoles as such locked ecosystems. There haven't been true exclusives in fucking years. Gamers are coming into the fold now for the first time who have never known about exclusivity. Like, we're running off of software that is so fucking out of date that it's kind of pointless. So, like, if there's no point in exclusives and there's no point in a platform, then why wouldn't I just go with the one that is generally gives me the most customization and the best value? And that's going to be Steam 11 out of 10 times. So, I mean, I think that I've decided that consoles are a prison designed to leak money out from us and keep us in a financially abusive relationship. And I'm done with it.
Brian, what about you, man? What do you think? What could be the thing that, you know, sets off the old spark in gaming?
I'm starting to believe that there just won't be anything.
That's my stance too. I think it's done.
Because I think spark is based on a time and place that doesn't exist anymore. And I'm not just talking about societal and economic changes. I just mean that we are, because of that spark being...
I don't think it's us. Yeah, go
ahead. I think it's just that everything has changed so much that there's different expectations. I mean, if you take a kid now who's like a kid who's like mid-20s, compare that like mid-20s 10 years ago or 10 years prior or whatnot, it's just a different time frame, and things have changed that much that I just don't believe that the same type of spark will exist, because things are so different everywhere and it just can't be captured. I think that spark that we had when we were younger was truly a one of a kind, because we were at the right place at the right time, and we've seen that spark, and for some reason now it's just not there. And I believe that the biggest problem is that gaming has went mainstream.
That's literally what Kishak just said, Brian, before you go on. He said the spark only existed because gaming wasn't figured out. Go on.
Yeah. See, I don't like that answer, because it's, again, you can say that about so many things. It's like, this artist was good because they weren't mainstream. This hobby was good because it wasn't mainstream. And I feel like with gaming, it is really different now that it's became mainstream and became popular and became profitable, that it stopped being about people making games that they enjoy for the audience that they enjoy, and started being about making a game to make money, and that's the end all and be all.
Yep.
So unless people stop doing that, which they won't, because gaming is so profitable, you won't get that spark back.
I agree.
Can I ask what spark we're talking? Are we still talking about the same spark where they threw out trash movie related games and about, you had like a 50-70% of blindly picking a game that was absolutely fucking terrible? And then the ones that were well developed were only done because they were in an arcade and were designed to be predatory hard and pump money out of you? Like,
that was in Universal, bro. Like, there were genuine classics on the Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, PS1.
There absolutely were. But Baldur's Gate 3 just also came out a year or two ago.
But that didn't set the whole industry. That didn't reignite the entire industry or set a, you know what I'm saying?
And that's my thing, is I don't think it has necessarily stopped. Like, I'm gonna say it like this. It's not that the problem went mainstream, it's that we went mainstream, because there is still niche gaming with those fucking communities that exist. I've seen them. I play in them.
I know, but you're talking, if you're sticking with niche stuff, yes, but even you have yourself said that mainstream stuff has gone down the gutter. You've said this yourself.
No, the mainstream stuff has absolutely gone down the gutter, because like I just said, we're hitting diminishing returns. You can't just keep throwing money at something. You can't keep throwing pregnant women in a room and make a baby faster. It doesn't work that way. What they should be doing is diversifying, but for some reason they seem to want to do the opposite, because they want to throw the entire budget and the kitchen sink at every single game that they make. I think that's a mistake. But you know, like Helldivers, right? Like, that was kind of a breakout hit, mid range, and that just surpassed consoles completely for a while. Like it hit its success before PlayStation even got its fucking grubby little hands on it. So, like, I see other people having the same fun that I did then. I see games coming out that we will still be talking about in a decade, and I'm finding fresh experiences for a fairly reasonable price. I'm not saying that it's bad, but what I'm saying is that the biggest companies are ships with no captains. And this is the thing that I've learned, right? Like, a conglomerate or a publicly traded stock is basically some kind of like evil fucking djinn. It is a bodiless organization that holds no responsibility and answers to nobody and is endlessly hungry. And you can't stop that. It's a machine that is now self-fucking driving. So as long as you are in a company that is legally required to do everything they can to boost shareholder profit as much as possible, they are legally bound to deliver you a shitty experience. So we need to stop shopping at those fucking companies. Hmm. It's as simple as that. Ubisoft will never make a game that is good again. I'm saying that right. Like, they may make a game that's okay, but they're never getting back there. And what, like, I guess the spark that you're talking about comes from the developers first, right? We feel it. We feel that love in a game that's special, that a game that people cared about, right? And if they don't care about it, how the fuck are we supposed to get the spark from it, right? You're not gonna build healthy muscles eating slop, right? I think we've all just kind of gotten so used to, again, the two, Nintendo and PlayStation, just, you know, it's like a fucking lunch line. Just go up and take whatever they give you. That's not, there are other options. You can go get your own food. You can go have your own experience. You can curate your own lists. You can do all kinds of stuff, and you don't have to be locked into their system with their bullshit higher prices that never go on sale the way that they fucking should. Oh, great, something's 10% off sale. That's awesome. They have levied to make this a hostage situation for decades. And now that we're all tied up in the basement, we're like, you know what? This isn't really that satisfying. I wonder why. Because they've been fucking us, giving us less, charging us more, and laughing about it. And I'm fucking sick of it. And I've moved on to finding companies that do.
Would you say
they really want to do? Say, and Brett, I try and support those.
Brett, would you say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore?
Yes. Yes. I'm disappointed as hell, really, is what it is. I genuinely don't, again, self-driving shit, but you'd think somebody on board would be like, hey, you know, we're going bankrupt. Maybe we should make a bunch of smaller games and see which ones are successful and then maybe build a sequel off of that, like, you know, kind of like how Portal did. Instead of what Ubisoft did, be like, okay. Yeah, and now Ubisoft is just like, you know what? We're just going to bank entire. We're going to double down on the thing that's failing us and cut everything else. I don't understand that. And also, like, they started to view developers as completely disposable, and the developers know that, which means they don't have any heart and soul. I mean, like, Manny, I hope Manny will back me up on this, and I don't know if it's the same for writers, but, like, you can't manage a team of creatives and kill their creativity. Doesn't work like that. You can't be
it's like a gentle balance, because it's like on one end you need to get things done on time, but at the other sense there needs to be a structure around somebody who is creative, because obviously if you don't have at least some semblance of a structure, everybody's just going to start doing all the things all over the place, and it's not
like herding cats.
Exactly.
Artists work best with it within clearly established confines. Like, draw the box, let us go a little outside of it, and then just kind of like let us do the thing. But if those artists are showing up, and those developers, and those, you know, everybody who's showing up doing this thing, and their soul is fucking dead, that game's not going to have any soul. At the end of the day, games are art, and you don't get art from process that is bankrupt of creativity.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. Black Viet, kind of related to the last one. A little bit of a theme tonight, I guess. Do exclusives matter for Sony anymore, or do they care more about monthly subscriptions and whatever percentage they get from DLCs, digital currency, and battle pass from third-party games? Well, if you saw the Thursday show, yeah, they don't really need exclusives anymore. They're making more than enough money off of your fucking subscriptions. It's just the unfortunate truth. Goes back to what you said, Brett. Exclusives don't matter anymore.
Yeah, and don't forget, all of those things plus, 30% commission on all third-party sales on their platform?
Everybody does that, just to be fair.
Yeah, but not everybody does it in conjunction with all the other bullshit. I'm fine with Steam doing it, because that's all they fucking do.
Yeah, but Xbox, you know, again, I don't want to do the whataboutism, but this is kind of common practice. Apple does it, Xbox does it, everybody does that shit.
The whole thing or just the part?
The 30%. Along with everything else they offer, you know?
Yeah. I mean, okay, sure. I was just kind of trying to be fair, but like, sure, yeah. I think that I guess it doesn't matter what I think. Sure, yeah, just all the other stuff. It is so bad. It is so bad for us. And I just feel like they've been building a cage around us for so long that we didn't even notice. It's just bad. They make most of their money. Like, not even like where do they like, I don't even know. I'm just a disappointed, speechless.
Yeah. Or are you disappointed because people are still buying the system despite all that?
Because
it is.
Yes and no.
Yeah, because again, I mean, it is the most, you know, best-selling console at the moment.
Well, it is, and it's going, and like the irony in the Catch-22 is it's going to be the best-selling console as long as it has the majority of market share.
Yep.
That's stupid. That's just how humans behave. So I can get down to like yelling at clouds and the laws of physics at this point, but there's just certain stupidity that arises from certain kinds of chaos that it's inevitable. And I guess this is one of it. It's just, it's easy. No, I'm disappointed in the company, because here's the thing. Sony knows what it's doing, right? It has psychologists on their fucking team, brand experts, things like that, marketing specialists, product specialists. They know. And if you think like, oh, they're clueless. No, they just don't give a shit, right? So it's, and they've gone out of their way to basically make it seem like they're the only option. So no, I'm not disappointed in people for only seeing their option, because there's a $1 billion industry of people with high IQs and master's degrees who have all gotten together in a room and tricked you into feeling that way. And that's fucked up.
What are your options?
At this point, go open. Go PC, but not just so you have access to Steam, but then you can leverage multiple platforms against each other and just buy the cheaper ones. So you can have Steam and GOG and, you know, get an open platform that allows you as much ownership and as many buying options.
Is that going to be as easy for mainstream people to get into as a regular console?
With the Steam Box, yes.
But that's not out yet.
No. Yeah. That's why I said the addendum was with the Steam Box. Like, no now, but possibly later, but that might even, we might hit a price thing. There's so many variables up in the air. Like, normies might be priced out of it. And honestly, I hate minimizing and thinking down on people, but Wizard's first rule, people are stupid. So they'll probably just keep being like, oh, I'm just getting another PlayStation.
But again, I'm done. You know, I don't think it's a matter of stupidity. People like the easy path, the cheaper path, and Sony kind of gives you that.
It's not cheaper, though, is the thing.
Cheaper than PC? And that's the option you laid out. Cheaper than PC?
Only an upfront cost, Tony. And that's exactly what I'm talking about. Like, when I say stupid people, I'm talking about the kind of people who get trapped in bankruptcy from payday loans, right? The kind of people who can't do math and figure out that, yes, it is a cheaper upfront cost, but after about 3 years of owning the damn thing, you're now paying more and you're locked into their ecosystem.
Oh, by the way, yeah, Blitz doesn't appreciate... Yeah, Blitz doesn't appreciate being called stupid for buying a console.
I'm not calling you stupid for buying a console. I would call you stupid if you blindly bought another console in this environment and this economy. Like, if you're just like, fuck it, I'm buying a PS6. Why? Like, if you're telling me now that you're buying a PS6 without knowing any games that are coming on it simply based off of brand loyalty, yeah, you're stupid. Sorry, brother.
Well, no one's buying a PS6. It's not out yet. So that's kind of
point. I know. We're dealing with hypotheticals. But, like, I am saying that, like, and that's a very cheeky and probably nice way to say it. So let me rephrase that. If you are already have the brand loyalty to announce with your chest that you will be buying a PS6, you need to take a long, hard look at your actions, their consequences, and the things that caused them. Because for you to so go all in with something that's not even a bunch of people that not only don't care about you, but are showing kind of toxic behavior towards you, like, you need to examine that. I'll say that.
All right. A tangent there. What about the rest of you guys?
Keyword there is blindly. I just want to leave that there.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so anyway, what about the rest of you guys? You think Sony cares about exclusives anymore since they're making money off all this other stuff? You're muted.
Manny, you're muted.
Oh, excuse me. I think they don't care about them as much because, yeah, they are making money off of it because they are the console now.
Yep.
So now they don't need to try. This is the same place that Xbox was in, you know,
during the 360
where they era. Had every, yeah, with the 360 era, they were coasting along because they got everything coming to their console. Right. And then also that lovely press that says that the PlayStation 3 was a piece of shit and nobody should develop for it, or that, you know, that all helped them to sort of coast along, and they weren't trying. And what did that lead to? That led to Sony saying, okay, we're going to double down. We're going to push this shit even harder to try to get this to work. And that's where they worked out. But once they reached that high, it got even higher with PlayStation 4. And they just, again, they're just coasting along because they already have the brand.
They have no competition.
They're the top. There's no real competition. They have the brand recognition. You know, they throw out a couple of titles that'll do pretty well. You know, you get your Ghost of Tsushima's and your Last of Us's in there. But now I feel like, I mean, and then this is just the thing. It's just a sort of, I think once the minute that they need to, they have to struggle to get what they need, that's when it starts to become a thing. It's interesting though. But like when you look back at the PlayStation 2 era, right? They pretty much had that locked, that generation, right? But they were still putting out great titles. That's the big difference between now and then. Sony internal was still investing on games just in general. Like, okay, we got this God of War thing. We got all this other stuff. We're going to keep putting these things out and seeing what sticks.
Yeah. That era is still probably arguably the PlayStation's best era too. You know, you're muted.
A lot of the titles that we know and love these days all came from that era. You know, and now we're getting sequels, getting remakes of those games now.
That's right. Sometimes second iterations of remakes of those. By the way, I'm going to go right to the next question because it's tied right into this. With 90 million plus PS5s out there and barely any exclusives, what is the main driver for PS sales? Brand recognition, and there's no competition. Simple as that. There's no other game in town.
They are games now. They are home games. Yeah.
I also
feel like, and because this is the thing I particularly hate, it's a sort of hostage situation. Like, you can't go to PC because all your friends are still on PlayStation. And the reason I bring that up is, and I'm eating right now, so I won't look it up, but I can bring up at least three examples where Sony stepped in to intentionally stop the ability for crossplay for no other reason than to maximize profit.
Like Fortnite, right?
Bro, I've heard the story at least half a dozen times, so I know I can find at least three examples.
Yeah. No, but you're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's happened. But yeah, it's a zeitgeist. You know, again, it's a zeitgeist system. Simple as that. It's coasting off name recognition alone, and because Xbox isn't really a thing and Nintendo's for a different market and PC's too expensive up front.
Yeah, but like when, like, I forget what game it was. Oh, Path of Exile 2, right? They had a thing in there where Sony refused to let them have crossplay enabled. So they had to bury it in a menu where you went in and signed in and had to turn it on. And it had to be in a menu that could not be running while you were running the game. Like, Sony intentionally put up several hoops. And I don't see somebody going out of their way and putting that kind of effort into something for no fucking reason, which means they have a payoff for it. What's the payoff? An exclusive ecosystem, right? If you have crossplay, then all your market share can just leave.
Yeah.
But
to be fair, they haven't done that in a very long time. Path of Exile, you're talking about the first one, right? To be specific.
No, correct? The second one.
Okay. Let's look that up. Yeah. Because that's not common practice anymore. But because I remember the last big one they did that with was with Fortnite. That it cost a whole, and that's what ultimately forced them to cave, you know? Because they're like, okay, fuck it. We got to do it.
I think that they were forced to have it in there, but because I read a developer diary about it. I really wish I could remember who it was, but they were talking about because of restrictions put down by the company that it would be, you know, they can't block them from doing it as long as it's on their platform because they own their own servers, but they can make it off by default. And so then they had to have a whole fucking tutorial up on like how to turn it on so you can play with your friends on PlayStation.
Yeah.
It's so funny how things have changed. Like, literally, it's just a checkbox on like for that Marvel, you know, the Marvel game. What was it? The beat 'em up. You just turn it like if you want it crossplay or if you don't want it.
Yeah, it's very simple now. By the way, I want to read this. This is a interesting comment from Blitz. Oh, by the way, Kishak, no, nobody considers Nintendo competition for PlayStation. Two totally different markets. Anyway,
Nintendo doesn't.
Yeah, Nintendo doesn't. Yeah. Blitz says it's funny how you hear people complain that Sony doesn't make smaller and more experimental games. Nintendo drops a weird or definitely not AAA tier game every other month, and people complain about those. Xbox is dropping a lot of content, but now it's not exclusive. It's not good enough. Can't please gamers. That's a good
comment. I mean, gamers aren't a monitor. You can't please everybody.
Yeah, fair enough. Anyway, go ahead, bro.
Just going back to the previous question real quick.
It's all related.
It's all related. It's not that Sony doesn't care about making exclusives. It's that they don't care about making games as much anymore. It's just, you know, how many PlayStation games do we get every year now that we're excited about? I mean, 2-3 at the most every year.
You said excited. Maybe? That's a different thing. There's a difference.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the masses.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Fair enough. Maybe 1 or 2 a year if you're lucky.
Yeah. Like last year was Ghost of Yote, and I don't know what else they dropped. I know they dropped something, like one more thing. And then it was Helldivers 2 the year before and something else. So it's like we get these slim pickings. Like Brett mentioned previously about, you know, what happened?
Didn't they buy the Helldivers studio after Helldivers was released?
Yeah, but I'm talking about Helldivers 2 when they released it as part of Sony.
I thought they dropped the same year as Helldivers.
Okay.
Oh, Gran Turismo?
No, there was a well-known game, well-beloved game that you probably have played called Concord.
Oh, Rich's favorite game?
Rich's favorite game.
Yeah. And they're dropping Marathon this year, so we got that to look forward to. It's just they don't release games like they used to. They become so comfortable, like you guys mentioned, at becoming the zeitgeist console. Yep. Where people buy it so they can play their favorite games, aka Fortnite, aka anything else that's you know, in the zeitgeist.
Madden, Call of Duty,
these days.
That shit, yeah.
Madden, Call of Duty, FIFA, all GTA. That stuff. Or FC, what are they calling now? What about the Division? That's what the PlayStation exists for. It's for those games. It's going to exist for GTA 6.
Yep.
It's going to be the zeitgeist console for GTA 6. That's where most people are going to be playing it at. So that's what keeps PlayStation alive. And they get to charge for you to play online. Brian, going back to you, they're charging you to play online. And where most people play these games is a PlayStation console. GTA 6, you want to play that online? The hundreds of millions that are going to play it on a PlayStation?
The hundreds!
Oh, you're all going to be
millions!
And the millions! you're going to be paying a subscription price. And most of you are going to get stuck because you're going to forget, and it's going to be a recurring cost, like it happened to me and Manny. But screw you, Sony, because we canceled our shits. You're not going to have us back.
You can't take our money.
Screw you. We're fighting the system. And that's pretty much it, man. I you know, PlayStation has replaced the Nintendo.
It is, yeah.
Not the Nintendo, the Nintendo.
Nintendo, you know. All right, next question here also about PlayStation. I can see where your mind's at, Black Viet.
PlayStation.
Yeah. Oh, the next question after that is also about PlayStation sales too, Brett. Anyway, would you attribute Sony selling a lot of consoles during the holidays to them lowering the price by $100 after increasing prices in September, making the digital PS5 cheaper than a Switch 2? Was this a great strategy to sell consoles? I told you they would do this shit. They would raise the price of the console and then come to holidays. Hey, we just lowered the price by $100. And then I'm just going to call it. The people who didn't know any better were like, oh shit, $100 cheaper, I'm buying it. Not realizing they're paying the same price for the console when it originally came out. So that was fucking Machiavellian of them, you know? Because even though console sales were down overall last holiday, the PlayStation still outsold everybody, you know? So they still made bank. I guess that it worked. They suckered people. Oh shit, I'm saving $100 on PlayStation. I gotta buy this shit now. Like, bitch, that you're paying launch price. It's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I hate the fact, like, just a weird random thing I think is interesting. So like a lot of like old occult schools and shit, like hermeticism and shit like that, is basically just really, 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 really old psychology. Carl Jung basically just repackaged all that stuff And what's funny about that is a lot of that stuff was really heavily guarded knowledge, because back in the day, people knew, you just can't hand over the keys to the human mind every asshole because they're going to abuse it. Now look where we are. Like, it just bothers me. Like, Sony, they knew what they were doing. The psychologists and the marketing team knew what they were doing. It's Coca-Cola Classic all over again.
They did it. I mean, but to be honest, they weren't the first one to do it. The first one to do it was Microsoft. They did it first. Uh-oh. They bumped their price up on the Xbox when we were, and we made an episode about that, because it was like, wait, why are you doing that for a 5-year-old console? Then Sony did it. Then Nintendo did it too
with the original Switch. That's right.
So they're all playing fucking mind games, and that's why those consoles didn't do the sales during the holiday season weren't that amazing, because nobody wanted to buy those things for those prices. Everybody saw the rope-a-dope. Amazon saw a decline.
Yeah,
because of all of that, because every single one of their supposed Amazon Prime products, all of those things got a store-wide increase. And then they just pulled it back for the sale.
Yep. Man, you know how many times I found a quote unquote product I had reviewed, you know, that was on sale. That's the quote unquote on sale. Then I look at, you know, then I go back to my original review, look at the price. Like, holy shit, this reduced price is the old price. You know, or sometimes it's even more expensive, man. I want to read this comment real quick from Kishak. Did everyone remember people bragging about how good Xbox Live was compared to
Live?
I'm sorry, Kishak, you kind of wrote this bad, bro. He goes, anyway, do you guys remember how people bragged about the privilege of paying for Xbox Live, even though Xbox PSN was free? I do remember that. I remember that very well, you know? Oh, you guys are getting that cheap free shit. You know, we're paying for ours. Ours is premium. But to be fair, PlayStation guys did the same shit too later on, you know, with other stuff. I always find that particular psychology of gamers pretty interesting. It's like, oh, I'm paying more for this. It's better. You're too fucking poor. You can't afford this. It's very interesting.
I don't understand it. And I hated Microsoft back then so much.
Yeah. I mean, they called Xbox the poverty box. When Xbox Game Pass first started coming out. Oh, you're paying for a subscription. You can't buy your games. You fucking cheap piece of shit. Remember that? It's crazy.
Well, that shit would be because I would immediately return with, like, what kind of sucker takes more than a month to beat a game?
Yeah. I mean, man. And then I've seen, I'm not going to name names, but yeah, definitely one Xbox super fanboy was asked, like, do you pay for Xbox Game Pass? My man goes, I do. Proudly. Like, whoa, okay. Very interesting.
I don't get that. Like, I don't get the brand loyalty on either side. Like, I get being, like, proud of a good deal. Like, if you think that you're getting good value for your money, or if, like, or you think that they're treating you right or something like that. Like, maybe. Like, the closest analog I have to that is, like, one of the reasons I'm pretty big with Steam right now is how they handled the Steam Deck. Like, they could have released yearly. They decided they didn't need to make that much more money because they didn't want to water down their brand for being greedy. And like, I'm like, okay, cool. Alignments, motivation, same place. So, I mean, that's the only reason I'm in that place, but Jesus. Yeah. It's been dog water the whole time.
Yeah. All right. Moving on here. Dre Day, what's going on, brother? He goes, taking into account the combination of Xbox being ass, gaming PCs being too expensive, and GTA 6 releasing this year, do you think PS5 will surpass the PS4 in sales by the end of 2026? I don't, because it would have to sell like 20 million copies or units, maybe 25 million. It's not going to happen, but it could happen next year. It could happen next year. Because again, like I said on the last show, the PS5 is, even though it isn't, it is effectively the only system people are going to buy GTA 6 for. That GTA 6 is effectively a PS5 exclusive. No one's going to buy it on Xbox. It's not available on PC, and it's not available on Switch. Only way you're really going to get it, you know, unless you're a hardcore Xbox guy, you're getting that shit on the PlayStation. And I suspect there are going to be a lot of people buying PlayStations for this fucking game, because this is a zeitgeist game. You know, people are, oh, GTA, I gotta buy it. You know,
yeah, and if what, you know, didn't Sony PlayStation did say that a part of their strategy includes Grand Theft Auto?
They did, and Manny hooking it into our last question. When is Grand Theft Auto, when is it coming out? November 19th. What is that around? Black Friday. What did PlayStation do last year? They lowered the fucking console price. Watch them do that shit again. They're going to capitalize on shit hardcore, you know? Mm-hmm. Again, I don't think.
No. Yeah, because that's $100, Tony. That's $100 difference. You're telling me that they're going to come out and be like, oh, save $100 and we have a new game. I wonder what the price of that game is going to be, Tony.
Oh, yeah. If rumors are true, that game will be $100.
They better not do that.
Better chill to the next episode.
You're basically just that it will be back to the days where you just a game came with the console.
Yes. You know, I'm pretty sure there's going to be bundles too, you know, but that's going to be an option. But yeah, because here's the thing. You would have to sell. I have to look this up. How many consoles did PS4 sales? It sold 117 million, right? Roughly, right? And the PlayStation 5 sold 90 million around. So it would have to sell 27 million copies in a little over a month. That's not going to happen unless people start buying PlayStation 5s beforehand. But I don't see it happening. Next year, maybe. And if Grand Theft Auto 6 is good, because there's that possibility, it could not be as good. The game's going to sell like gangbusters initially, but we'll see about the long-term effect of it. But PlayStation 5 is not going to outsell the PS4 this year. No fucking way. If I'm wrong, I'm going to be extremely surprised. What console in history has sold 27 million units in a month? I can't name any. You know? I mean, didn't fucking PlayStation 5 sell records for selling 5 million in a month? This would be fucking, like, a lot more. I don't know math. It would be a lot more, you know, like 5 times more, you know. What about the rest of you guys? You think PS5 is going to outsell PS4 this year?
So what are the numbers? PS5 was, I think on the report that Chris said, was 90 million.
Ooh, let's look that up exactly. Unlike Xbox, I actually do report their numbers.
Really? Yeah, they got 90-something.
Nintendo reports their shit too, just to be fair.
You said against PS4 lifetime sales, right?
Yes.
They got 117 million.
Yes. Why can't I look this up? God damn it. Anyway, why can't I find this easily? Fucking internet. Why is Google so shit now, bro? Actually, you know why.
Uh-oh. Yeah, so roughly like 24, 25 million they need to sell this year in order to catch up. That's not going to happen.
No, no way. If they, Carlos, fuck the month. If they sold that many in a year, that would be insane. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like if sales started now or fucking January to the end of December and they sold 24 million copies, that would be insane on its own, you know?
Yeah, something happened where it's like, yeah, GTA comes out at the end of the year. So if there's hype for that, it's only going to be like a month, a little bit over a month of boost.
Yeah, no.
Over the ordinary.
Ain't happening, brother. Ain't happening. So it's 92.
I mean, if they lower down 92, the price by $200, maybe.
92 million. Shit, that's a good point, Carlos. $300. You know, make that shit $200. Like, yo, I'll buy three of those motherfuckers. You know? I would. Fuck, that's money right there. That's an investment, a literal investment. You know that price is going to go back up. So 117 take away 92. What's that? I'm a writer. I don't do math.
Or the numbers again?
117 take away 92.
25.
So 20, it's not happening. They're not selling 25 billion. Again, if they sold 25 million units in this entire year, that would be fucking insane. And that ain't happening, you know? But yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah, sell it for $200. Oh man!
So I'm gonna buy one for my bathroom.
But shit, I'll buy one for like I was gonna say every room I put. I only have two fucking rooms, you know. But I'm saying, I would hoard them shits, you know.
Buy one for the kitchen.
Excuse me. Yeah. All right. We don't need to go further. It's not gonna do it. No fucking way. That's La La Land right there.
It'll do it next year, but though.
Yeah, next year it'll happen, which is crazy because I'm like, yo, the PS5 is literally the worst fucking generation. It's going to outsell the previous one, which is also bad. Yo, bruh. Oh, man. All right, last up, Kiss Shack. Controversial question. Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
If console makers, PlayStation, Xbox, Nintendo, actually cater to the, quote, vocal minority, end quote, the 1% of us who consume podcasts and post on forums, would it hurt the industry? Are enthusiasts too out of touch with what the average consumer wants? Well,
are they out of touch with this, with the average consumer wants?
Yeah. And Kishak, since you're there, I'm assuming you're talking about gamers like us, because we are admittedly we're not in the mainstream. You know,
I can answer that. And I think the assumption is talking about us. And I think that they'll still be successful. Because if you think about it, a lot of the games we like are super popular games. I mean, Brett loves, what's it called? The Larian game. God damn it. Baldur's Gate 3. That sold tons of copies.
That is popular.
And, you know, that we all love Elden Ring. We all love Monster Hunter. And those are all ridiculously selling games. Most of us love GTA.
That's true.
You know, Final Fantasy.
Not Manny.
Manny's got the part of that indie side, like the, you know, the Gravity Rushes, the cat game.
Was it Stray? Yeah.
You know, Carlos, Stray, yeah. You bring up an interesting point. It's like most of us here do like the popular games, but we don't like the old GTA, with the exception. We don't like the ultra popular stuff like Madden and shit like that, you know? But we generally like mainstream Final Fantasy, bro. Like, that's fucking mainstream as shit, you know? I love me some Final Fantasy, boy. Inject that shit into my veins.
Dragon Quest. Yeah,
Yeah, okay. I don't align with those, Kishak. I don't align with the Madden and Call of Duty people. But Adam's a Call of Duty person, you know?
And Adam is a shooter person, too.
Yeah, so, yeah.
He is, in fact, probably the most aligned with absolutely. What the mainstream is.
Absolutely. He doesn't, and actually, he doesn't play football games, but he does play football games, you know?
He plays football games, which arguably are more popular than football games.
Super fucking popular.
The footy foots.
You know, the footy foots. You know, so yeah, Kishak, I don't know if we're exactly the minority here, my friend.
And if Adam was in charge, he'd make all the shooters in New York and they would sell more.
That's right, in the snow.
I mean, yeah.
It's cold.
Adam likes military shooters. He's always been into military stuff, you know? Yeah. So it's just a part of it.
Those are popular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like there's still a lot more potential to get from a lot of these things. So I don't know. The type of games, the Fortnites and the Apex Legends and those types of games. Yeah. Those will be dying down, but there's still plenty, you know, plenty of zeitgeist games to be had. I mean, I'm a huge Pokemon. Well, I used to be a Pokemon fan, but I'm a huge God damn it, I lost it. Mario fan. A huge Mario fan.
Mario's very popular.
It's super popular, and I played all the mainline games for Mario. So I don't know. We're 1%ers, but we have good tastes.
Yes,
and good tastes that are you know palatable for a huge chunk of people that'll make you a lot of money.
Yeah,
but I also think that, like, you know, there are just some things that align and some things that don't align, and you know, even our podcast is an example of that, where like there are games that we align with. They're like, oh yeah, we're all going into it. And those end up being seen to be the ones that are also very fairly popular out in the
thing.
And
then
there's also ones where we veer off, you know, where, you know, Brett is talking about Kerbal Space Program, and, you know, it's a different strokes for different folks. But
Yo, man, give yourself some credit too. When you talk about some crazy ass games no one's heard of, you're muted.
Yeah, I talk about a bunch of crazy games that nobody's heard of, but at the same time, it's like, for me, I'm not want. I as much as I would. It would be nice that I could talk about these titles with other people. I'm not going to be the one that's going to sell you it. You know.
Yeah.
I know what I like. You know. I'm probably not really good at selling things to people anyway. But you know, I'll talk about it. I say I like it, but you know, you could like it if you want, but it don't matter.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else want to jump in on this?
And Brian, well, I don't know if he still loves it, but he used to love Warframe. Yeah, that was a popular game.
That was his own fucking convention, you know?
I used to love Awesomenauts and Heroes of the Storm. Those aren't that popular, though.
I like the Awesomenauts intro. I like that part, at least. I don't like the game. Didn't like the game, but I like the intro. Intro was badass.
Awesomenauts.
All right. All right, man. That seems to be it, then. Let's start wrapping it up. You know, Manny, what's going on in your world? You're muted.
Keep on turning on my mute.
Yo, man, stop muting yourself, motherfucker. People got to hear that voice.
Anyway, I do have visual aid. I am not the visual aid god.
And we got the camera looking good today. It's not a pixely mess.
So, yeah. So, what I have is Blood and Thunder, number 8 and number 10. I think number 9 somewhere down in there. But, yes, 8, 9, and 10. They're all out on the streets. This one is coming out in February. So it's this month. So that should be out. It's covered by Carl Randolph and myself. Interiors, the book is written by Robert Kirkman and drawn by EJ, who used to do Tech Jacket, which Carl Randolph and I worked on many moons ago. Which, by the way, you should be looking at the new season of Invincible. You might see a very familiar character there that we worked on. Anyway, next one up is TMNT Battle Nexus number 5. That is coming out in March. That'll have the big thing that all the 2003 and 2012 fans have been waiting for, which is a crossover cover by Akira Randolph myself. I'm doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 2003 and 2012, done by the original director. Cool jam cover. And that's what's coming up.
All right, good stuff. All right, go check out the Coalition. Rich is always going to have good stuff coming at you. Also, check out the TV Terminal. Give Adam some love, you know, over on the YouTubes and all that good jazz. And that's it, man. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord if you haven't already. You know, shout out to the Discord gang for the awesome questions and all the news that you drop all the time to feed the show. And of course, you can find us on your favorite podcast app. We got the Apples, we got the Spotify's, Amazon, we're everywhere. We're on podcast apps I've never even heard of, bro. It's like that. So, you know, you can find us, man. We're out there, Throwdown Show. Anyway, that's it. We will see you on Thursday. And for everything else, check out the links below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. And tonight, I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time. Also, play the Pragmata demo. It's on PlayStation 5 and everything else.
Yeah. Go get Dragon Quest 7 Reimagined. It's awesome. It'll make you feel good. It'll make you feel good. Carlos Romero.
You already know. It's the manga god.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
And Brian Manjoma.
I love how 50 Cent has distilled the art of trolling.
Oh, it's beautiful. I love it.
Like, we all need to be up in our hate game. He's showing us.
Yeah, that is a level of hate you gotta appreciate, man.
Now I actually understand why he got shot. But the question is, why only 9 times?
Oh man. Do you guys remember that fucking commercials, that Nike commercial years ago with 50 Cent? It was literally him. It was a black and white commercial, him in some kind of abandoned warehouse, like, yeah, I got shot 9 times. Shit is crazy. Then the Nike logo, and that was it. I'm like, wait, what? That's the commercial? What the fuck? Oh, man. Shout out to 50 Cent, man. That's we respect the hate, sir. Go, hey, 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 hey. All right. Later.
Peace. Later.